Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Matt Cause. That's Bob Mackowitz. Bob, I got good news.
What is that?
The melting, the ice melted up in cottage country. It's April 14th. I'm up at the cottage.
Well, I think we're all happy for you, Matt. So your Instagram, yesterday crossed the line where you expounded on the fact that you are finding it hard to justify opening a really special bottle of wine, but it was the opening of the cottage. So why the hell not?
Yeah.
Do you think at some point maybe it might be a little too self-congratulatory?
Huh. Let me think.
Like, I don't know if I've seen any of this stuff around COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty bad. Mm. And I'm not saying it's tone deaf to put out a post saying, why the hell not? I'll open the really great wine. The cottage has opened up after all. I'm not saying it's tone deaf.
So what you're saying is that there might be a bit of a contrast between the debilitating existence in Canada right now with the hospitals and the situations we are in, which is dire because of COVID, versus me espousing about a slightly oaky Prince Edward County Chardonnay. What you're saying is that the emotional tone of those two might be slightly off.
What I'm saying is there's a line and usually you butt up against it, but yeah. The fact that you presented the challenge of your day being whether or not to open the especially nice bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not your manager, right?
Yeah.
We had this conversation. You declined my services.
Yep.
But as your friend, I'm not intervening. I'm just saying you may want to think. I wrote you a response, didn't I?
You didn't respond to that one. I always love when Parkdale Panther comes swooping in on one of my douchey Instagram.
Not true. I sure did.
Oh, did you? How did I miss that?
Open it up right now. You can read it live.
All right. You have to give me a moment to find it here.
While you're looking it up, I'll billboard the show. We're going to talk Leafs.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Jays after Ryu's pitching performance last night. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the trailer to Fast and Furious 9 that just came out. I have a feeling you and I are going to debate it because I loved it. And you sent me a note that just said, just so dumb. So that feels like a classic Bob and Matt scrap of brewing.
Yeah.
And I got a question about sandwiches for you.
Oh,
that too. I've got to cut this one a little bit short because I've got to get over to the Apple show. It's going to be going live in under an hour. So I'm going to have to pop off. I think today's only going to be about 30, 35 minutes, but we'll make it work.
Okay.
I guess you found.
By the way, Andre Wine Review liked my photo. Here's what Bob wrote. Don't stress the decision to go with a special wine, Matt. It must be hard to open a cottage on an island and have to make the difficult decision to go with a wine that you aren't totally sure is the right one for the occasion. Sounds like you handled it, though. Character finds a way. So
I'm here to support.
So what you're saying, Bob, is the 2010 Mondot, which of course, right bank, Saint-Emilion Grand Cru, maybe drink the wine, but don't advertise the wine.
Matt, what I'm saying is you are about two more posts away from becoming the human equivalent to the Monopoly man.
Mm. But what do I do here? Like the whole Instagram thing that everyone tells me is you got to build your brand. So it's like, okay, different wines and advertise what's going on locally, drink local and do all this, while at the same time, you may have a point, Bob, you may, that tonally my Instagram was a little bit different versus the harsh realities of Ontario.
It may just be possible that your brand is incompatible with this moment in history, but somebody's going to like it.
Yeah.
Somebody clearly did. Who was it? Land Rover Vineyards? Who was it that liked
sure.
it?
Sure. It got a bunch of, it got a lot of, someone from Picton, they liked it. Muskoka Marinas, and they're huge. I mean, you know, they're a tastemaker. They liked it. Your full service marine group operating two on water locations in the heart of Muskoka. I mean, that's where I go for social justice. I mean, it's all here, Bob.
So
all right.
Question about yeah. the leaks.
Yeah.
Let me just start with the most obvious one for you, because you've probably had to talk about it for the last 2 days. Did you like what they did? And did you like what they didn't do?
Back-to-back against the Calgary team that had a bunch of days rest with no Nylander, trying, you know, Robertson and the dude who punches faces against a Daryl Sutter team that's going to make hockey boring to watch. I mean, they were fine. You know, like they did... a game they could have won, a game where I think Calgary was slightly the better team. I didn't leave going, I certainly wasn't apoplectic. And, you know, a lot of what you saw last night, teams are going to be throwing at the Leafs come playoff time. So, you know, I was fine with it.
The Leafs are weird. They go on runs. They started off the season really successfully, and then they started to play poorly, and everyone was convinced the team sucked. And then they went on another heater. I think they were like 9-1-2 or whatever it was. And then there's a bit of a downturn, and if the pattern holds, then they're going to slide, and that's fine. It really doesn't matter as long as in the playoffs they right the ship. You like to go in hot, obviously, but they just seem like a team that, you know, for good or bad, they pick up a head of steam in one direction and they follow it. But I think we all believe that when push comes to shove and the playoffs start, they'll be the good version of the team.
Yes.
I thought this was very interesting with regard to the trade deadline and the fact that Nick Foligno, whom I like that acquisition. Do you like that acquisition?
Yeah, I like Carlo said it best. It wasn't a big splash. It was the right splash. Great way to put it.
Yeah, that is a great way to put it. And so even though Taylor Hall was picked up by the Bruins for technically less, Dom Lashishin in The Athletic wrote, he put it really well, and he talked about there is a difference between value and fit, and that you might have been able to get more value out of Taylor Hall, but that's not to say he would have been the better fit. Maybe he would be. I don't know. I like Taylor Hall, and I just have a feeling I don't love that Boston's got him. I don't think that helps our case any in the playoffs. But that said, if you were Dubas in that gang and you watched your team come up short like 3 years in a row, and it was when their back was against the wall, they didn't put up a good performance, wouldn't you want more character on the team?
Yes. And a guy who made life miserable for the Leafs in the playoffs. It was a really good signing. And like, what I love about this team is, yeah. And I know Simmons hasn't played that well. Actually, he's been a little bit disappointing, but mm-hmm. you bring him and Thornton, but you bring Foligno, who's going to play 18 plus minutes a night come the playoffs. You bring in Bogosian. So you get all that sort of character. Then you got Marner and Matthews a year older, and you know, you bring in Brody, and you know, I'm in a very peaceful state about the Maple Leafs right now.
I think we all agree that we love the idea of Nick Foligno with a Leaf on his chest in the playoffs, because he's going to be exactly, you know, as someone said, he's the left hand, the left shot, Zach Hyman. Great. Who doesn't want one more of those? You were talking about Simmons, and he hasn't been great lately. I don't hate that he's on the team, but he's not bringing a ton. Joe Thornton looks like he's hitting a post-40 wall. Jimmy Vesey didn't stick. There were a whole bunch of things that they tried, and Dubas just hasn't stopped trying. Like, I feel a lot more content not having Taylor Hall, oddly enough, because Galchenyuk looks good.
Yeah, and the problem of the Leafs, even though the power play right now is just abysmal, the problem with this team wasn't scoring. They're still, I think, fifth in goals with a power play that's one for like 39 or some ridiculous number like that. So, no, listen, we were all upset because it was Boston and because it wasn't a first-round pick. So then that got a lot of Toronto fans apoplectic about not getting Taylor Hall. But a lot of it was just geography. If Taylor Hall went to, you know, the Islanders, you know, we wouldn't be as upset.
Although maybe a little bit more nervous, because the Islanders, they're right there. Chris Johnson from Sportsnet said that the Leafs had no interest in Hall, or at least very little, like not meaningful interest. And that, I think, speaks to who they believe this team is and who they need to become to take the next step. We talked about this the other day, about the idea talent in hockey is kind of like the stack in poker. You need enough of it in order to be able to play, but after a certain point, it doesn't win hands for you. And they believe that their stack of talent is high enough right now, clearly, and it probably is. I feel you could have gotten either one of those guys and I could have made a case for it. I think this just tells us more about who they think they are and want to be.
Yeah. And also, Bob, it's classic Dubas. He says no to the skill guy and he's taking the big gritty guy. It's classic black and blue Dubas. Old truculent Kyle Dubas.
Oh, man. Taking, who was that giant guy? Tyler Biggs. That's it.
Oh, come on, man. It's, by the way, Bob, it's so funny. All you have to do is say the word Tyler Biggs and it immediately puts you in a place. It's like, it must be 2014 and Burke is there and there's Ron Wilson and the fans aren't happy and Phil Kessel is floating or, but still scoring. It's, it puts you in a very dark place.
The amazing thing is, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure a Leafs fan will know if this is true or not, but I believe they took Stuart Percy right after.
I believe so.
I think it might have been three selections later. And I remember being on the air with Cebulski, and we were trying to make the case that we thought Stuart Percy was going to make an impact. And don't sleep on Stuart Percy. Because back then, you just had to find something to get excited about. Tyler Bixby had no illusions, though.
No. Oh, no, no. It was one of those ones where even if you weren't smart or you didn't follow it as closely as, as the experts do. It was one where you could smell it out immediately and you're like, oh, this isn't going to work.
When they said that he was really big, but he was finding it hard to keep up with the play against 18-year-olds.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a red flag.
Yeah, but to be fair, you know, he wasn't a high round draft. Okay, never mind.
Freddie Gauthier, God bless him. I remember Ian Tulloch. I believe this is how he got the nickname Ian Graff, but he wrote a piece about how Freddie Gauthier's contribution to the team was underregarded. And O'Neill on the air for Overdrive went nuts. It's like, he has 0 points. You can't tell me he's having a good year when he has 0 points.
Yes.
But there were graphs to prove it was true.
Yep. And expected goals. Ugh. I hate expected goals.
I don't believe in expected goals.
No.
I expect lots of things. Almost none of them happen. Hockey's so funny because expected goals, like obviously there's a mathematical truth to it. But one thing it can't account for adequately is how crazy hockey is. The stupidest things happen all the time. It is a game where I can't believe, I don't think there's any game that we watch with any regularity where luck is as big a part of what happens.
Oh, no, you're 100% right. It's why 7 and 8 seeds go deep in the playoffs. You know, the sports with more luck are the sports that create greater upsets.
So, okay, so they also get goaltending help, like somebody to back up Campbell. What have you heard about Freddie Anderson? I kind of feel like we're in this, like the Stephen King movie, The Mist. We're in this gigantic mist and there's monsters out there, but we can't see them. We don't know what they look like because the mist is so thick. They've thrown the mist, a moat of mist around Scotiabank. What the hell's going on with Freddie Anderson?
No idea. No one knows. It's when Sheldon Keefe said there is no timeline, that's the mist. And right now it's him, George Springer and William Nylander are the three guys we're all wondering, like, where are they? Maybe even, and Fred Van Vliet as well. Where are these people? You know, I can't find them anywhere.
So there, once upon a time, there was Robidoux Island.
Yep.
I think now it's been replaced by the mist.
I love it.
They've just drifted into the mist. Who knows where they went?
Except for one thing, Bob. Mm. Hopefully we don't get the same ending. Because let me tell you, The Mist, some parts paint by numbers. You kind of know what to expect. It's an enjoyable movie. And then the ending hits. And you're just, holy sheep shit. What the hell just happened in that truck?
I had a long debate with George Strombolopoulos. We, you know, because we talk horror movies all the time, and I maintained that The Mist's ending was BS because it wasn't earned by the rest of the film.
Right.
It's one of those classic times where after you argue for 4 hours, you go away, and then a month later it hits you. I was wrong. I actually think the ending was great. And all of his points he made about it were terrific. So maybe this is my public acknowledgement that The Mist is actually a damn good horror movie.
It is. It absolutely is. But yeah, I like that analogy. I have no idea about Freddy. I don't think anyone does. George Springer's injury, he keeps getting pushed back. Nylander is past the 7 days. We hopefully, you know, he's all good. I believe he tested negative for COVID. So we're wondering there. And Fred Van Vliet, I'm not going conspiracy theory. I'm not saying the Raptors are tanking. The players will never tank. But I think we can agree the Raptors organization is being extra cautious when it comes to the health of their players.
Well, you can't be too safe, Matt.
No. Oh, no. Don't do what Donnie Don't does. Yeah, everyone is out. Lowry's getting a rest tonight. Siakam got a rest the night, another game earlier. You know, they're being very cautious.
Matt, safety always matters, and it matters just a little bit more when you're in 11th.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, there's certain teams out there safety doesn't matter as much for.
I love watching Raptors Twitter try to figure out what to do with Pascal because he looks better. He scores 28 points over the course of three quarters and then 2 points in the fourth, and people can't decide, wait a minute, is that good or bad?
I don't know. I've sort of given up on, because I don't know how to talk. We've talked about this many times. I don't know how to talk about him. Like, it's just in sports, we're used to, the deal is we're going to watch you play, and if we're emotionally and intellectually honest, we'll watch you play a whole bunch of games, and then we'll sort of assess where you are. We'll make certain statements, judgments, always will allow for flexibility that things can change. And that's sort of the deal as a sports fan, watching your favorite coach, player, team. We judge them all. We judge the GMs. We judge the owners. But with the Raptors, with COVID, with Tampa, with all of it, it's like that's all thrown out the window.
Matt, I want to go back to the Leafs for a second.
Yeah, go. Sorry.
Not directly the Leafs, but just adjacent to it. Do you think because we're all watching this Northern Division and not really following as closely some of the matches, like our teams are not playing American teams. And so you have to seek those games out, acknowledging there will be no Leafs presence in order to watch them. And I think we scout other teams when they play the Leafs, generally speaking. Do you think that we're living in a state of denial about how good Tampa is because we haven't had to watch many games and there is no Atlantic Division?
Yes, or it might not be denial. Well, I guess this is sort of denial. Yeah, we've been given a pass to not think about them. Like, we've been given a legitimate excuse because we don't have to think about them, wouldn't face them for a little while. Every now and then we get upset when we realize that they've kept Kucherov out on purpose and they're just gaming the system. But then we remember the Leafs game the system as much as they can as well. No, we're not thinking about them, and we've got a credible excuse for it.
Tampa Bay reminds me right now of the experience that almost every actor has when they go to Hollywood for the first time. In your place, wherever you're from, whether it's a small town in Canada or maybe you're going from the UK, you're probably one of the more talented people. One of the ones who feel like they're going to be a star one day. And yeah. So I'm going to try my luck and I'm going to go to Hollywood. And you get there and you're like, oh my God, everyone's good looking. And everyone is all in on this. And you're just one of the crowd. And there is something that happens to a lot of actors and writers and directors and prospective people in show business where they go through a crisis of confidence. And I wonder what it'll be like if the Leafs manage to get through, like if they get through, you know, Calgary or Edmonton or whoever, like, I don't think they're going to get a huge burst of confidence because they've been beating them all year. But yeah. Then all of a sudden you're jumping into the fast lane. I wonder what those, like, if we should be so lucky, but I'm imagining now, like, what will those first couple games against the other good teams be like? Well, we won't have seen hockey at that level in a long time.
Bob, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you think is upsetting Canada more? I'm going to give you two options. You ready?
Yeah.
Option number one, I take take a photo of myself drinking this 11-year-old beautiful bottle of Bordeaux, and I say, cheers to the hospital workers and the nurses from Muskoka. That's option number one. And I got the sunset and the cottage behind me. Option number two is all Canadian hockey fans who aren't Leaf fans hearing Bob Mackowitz already speculate about game one of the third round of the playoffs involving the Maple Leafs. Which one do you think is pissing off Canadians more?
Will or should?
We'll go with should. Well, you. No, Will. No. Will. Sorry, Will. Will. Okay.
All right. Should. Yeah, exactly. Should you, will me. How about that?
Because I hear that, Bob. And if I'm Edmonton or Montreal, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. It's April 14th. What are you doing?
Okay. Montreal, you haven't earned the right because you've got a goalie who's worth like 10 million bucks who can't even start for you. Edmonton, you did squat at the trade deadline to get better, and you're a one-line team. So everybody other than Winnipeg has nothing to say. Winnipeg frightens me.
Oh, yeah, they should. Connor Hellebuck is incredible. They got more than enough depth at forward. Their weakness is, I would say just not enough high-end players on defense. But Connor Hellebuck makes up for it. So absolutely.
Yeah, we've all seen, even against Columbus, like sometimes when the goalie is super hot, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like of all the teams that the Leafs will face from Canada, Winnipeg has the greatest opportunity to give us a bad result, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think most people feel that way. But even still, I would expect the Leafs could beat them in a 7-game series if their health is reasonably intact.
Yeah, Winnipeg scares me the most, then Edmonton, then Montreal.
Mm-hmm. I will say the goaltending situation is certainly, it's strange, and I have no idea what to think about it.
Well, I think part of the reason there is we've seen some teams win Stanley Cups with goalies with no pedigree. St. Louis, Matt Murray with Pittsburgh. Then we've seen other times Jonathan Quick, Braden Holtby, who have won it, and they have plenty of pedigree. So it can go either way. I mean, we've seen Campbell look great. We've seen the Leafs for the year not allowing, a ton of high danger chances. So yeah, you could go either way in terms of your feelings on the goalie situation. And I think part of the reason why you don't know how to think is, again, the mist. We have no idea about Freddie.
And even when Freddie was healthy, I didn't believe in him. From day one, that not bringing in a legit number one was a recipe for disaster. If Campbell is that guy, that would be great. There's a lot of reasons why it feels hard to get comfortable about that. But if he is that guy, who cares who it is, as long as it's somebody.
About a month before the playoffs 2 years ago, you think Blues fans were saying Jordan Binnington, he's going to get it done.
Exactly. Buffalo Phil texted us just talking about how maybe Campbell's going to be this year's version of the Hamburglar.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
This happens in hockey all the time. Some guy gets crazy hot at the right time and accomplishes things that they may never do again in their career. But it doesn't matter because for that one moment, they are world beaters.
100%. And by the way, final thought on the Leafs. Mm-hmm. I think the NHL needs to fire Daryl Sutter. I was talking about this on the show today. If hockey and all professional leagues are meant as a product to entertain, if that is one of the main goals is to entertain human beings, then Daryl Sutter should not be allowed in this sport.
I'm going to go with that. Speaking of entertaining and not for, no, actually, let me rephrase that. It's not entertaining. Speaking of volatile and things that aren't predictable, mm-hmm. Oh, Jamal Murray.
Oh, that was my opening thought today. It hurts on so many levels. First, for him, just he was growing into this star, and now that's been put on halt for a year. You feel so bad for this kid. You feel bad for Denver. That was everyone's sexy, trendy team. You feel bad because it makes the West a little bit more predictable, and then Team Canada as well. He wouldn't be available for the qualifying at the end of June. On every level, that injury, like that and the Clay Thompson one, God, those are just kicking the nuts.
just a kick in the nuts. I was really wrong about so many things that happened at NBA trade deadline, how I thought new players would respond to new teams. I thought Chicago was going to look better than they do, and I wasn't sure Denver would get the bump. They totally got the bump. They looked like the best team in basketball, and now they've got to contend with this. And the idea that Denver, like, we're obviously Raptors fans. We come from Toronto. We love the Raptors. But for the rest of the league, the Raptors were really kind of nobody. And then all of a sudden, there was a mystique around them in the sense of they were giant killers. And Denver was poised to be that team this year, where you have the superstar who maybe is a little underloved in Jokic, you know, previously was Kawhi, and then just a really smart organization putting quality players around a superstar.
Yep. I love the Aaron Gordon deal. I thought it was going to work out. They're 8-2 since they got him. And you know, the most amazing thing about Jamal Murray is his scoring average is up. Not by a ton, but he's averaging a career high in points and assists. So that means his usage is higher. But you know what's also higher? His shooting percentage. He's shooting 41% from three. You know, like we saw with Siakam, usage goes up, your efficiency goes down. That's very much part of basketball. That didn't happen with Jamal Murray, which is more remarkable because he got off to kind of a slow start and just all, you know, comes to a crash.
It felt like it was going to be Jokic's year, that he was going to, you know, unless something really bad happens to that team, he's probably going to win the MVP. And he could have had a really miraculous year. And every league is always healthier whenever some player who's on the cusp of superstardom makes that jump. Yep. It just makes the battles richer. It makes the, you know, the intrigue and the rivalries a little bit more provocative. And I just don't want Denver to go away. I like it any time in the NBA. Obviously, always the Raptors first. But when that team you don't expect suddenly takes off and starts knocking off the usual suspects, it's so gratifying.
And so it's so rare. The problem is that until we see you do it, we just don't trust you. Whether you're Utah or Phoenix and, well, Denver until 2 days ago, it doesn't matter what you do. We don't believe you, even if all the numbers scream it. We don't believe it till we see it. And now with Denver, we're not going to be seeing it.
What really worries me the most about this, and this is apart from, as you said, it's just heartbreaking for, you know, this guy to go through this. But it opens up the door for the Clippers, and I just can't live with Kawhi winning in L.A.
They've won 6 in a row. Paul George just had some of had his best basketball all season. Yeah, you don't want it to be Kawhi. You don't want it to be Kawhi. Also, the Lakers are boring. You know, they're kind of a boring team. And, you know, I mean, what's the second biggest storyline? Because number one, if they win, is, oh, LeBron, another title. He's now one back of tying Jordan. That's the number one storyline. It'll get predictable. What's the second one?
I don't think it even matters because that first one is just so big. Whenever you're doing basketball, if it has something to do with Jordan, it'll always be interesting.
It will, but it's also kind of the same notes. So, like, I just got to tell you, I am rooting for anyone not from Los Angeles.
Fair. I like the Lakers. I like LeBron. I think, I wonder who this is. I got to respond to this, Matt. Do you want to do the... Do you want to do the Jeff Pollock and then we'll...
Sure. And then we'll get to a little Fast and Furious talk. So our sponsor for this program, the Macko and Cause podcast, it is our lawyer, Jeff Pollock. If you need legal help, if you need legal advice, this is the guy to go to. He's helped me out a bunch. It's jeffpollock.com, Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com. The phone number is 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. Litigation, states, trusts, wills, took care of mine and Bob's, corporate, commercial, real estate law, whatever you want. Small law firm, they'll get it done. That is Jeff Pollock. So, Bob, you made me watch, or not made me watch, I watched the next Fast and Furious 9. And because we haven't been going to movies for ages, if eventually we all get a vaccination, we go back to the movies. I'm so excited to go to the movies. I'd even see this. But my takeaway from this trailer was, hey, look, magnets. It's like they've already done everything else. but not stuff involving magnets. And there's magnets.
See, here's what they had to accomplish. They had to accomplish that all the characters you like as part of the franchise are going to be here.
Yep.
Check. You had to accomplish the idea that the movie was going to be basically like all the other ones, but just different in some way.
Yep. Check.
You had to establish there was going to be some kind of set piece that was original and memorable. Check. Hence the magnets. And then they had to do something. And you and I talked about this. This is the most important thing in Hollywood right now is who is your surprise casting?
Yep.
Who are people going to say, oh, man, I can't believe they're doing this movie. So you got John Cena and, more importantly, Helen Mirren. I bet you Helen Mirren will be in this for 3 minutes. It'll be like Marlon Brando and Superman back in 1979. 3 minutes. But it doesn't matter because it'll make you the top trending topic on Twitter for an afternoon. And then it's just another reason to go see it. I thought it was great. I loved it. I give that trailer 8.5 out of 10.
The problem for me was, I'm not the biggest Fast and Furious fan. I appreciate what they've done, this world they've created, and the popularity is earned. But it was the opening. It was so paint by numbers. Okay, talk about family. Let's see Vin Diesel's biceps. Let's get some more arm butter. And they're all toasting at the barbecue with a Corona, talking about family. Like, paint by numbers.
I love it, though. There's a couple things about the Fast and Furious franchise that I think escape a lot of critics because it doesn't fit into the usual category of blockbusters. It was original property, right? Like a original intelligent, what's the word I'm looking for? IP, intellectual property. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
And an era when everything is just about, let's just, buy this book or do this. Like, somebody created an original story and it turned into a multi-billion dollar franchise. So I love that. The other thing is, the group is really, like, long before people started talking about diversity in films, it was a diverse cast from day one. And people responded to it. It was like most of Hollywood was sleeping, and the makers of these films figured out, like, why don't we expand what a cast could look like and where we could draw talent from? And I think that was just really interesting. The other thing is, I think Vin Diesel's really underrated, which makes no sense. Here's my thought. Here's Matt, Vin Diesel, mm-hmm. You must know somebody like this in your life. Everybody knows the bouncer who goes to, like, get the headshots because he wants to act.
And
in the end, it's just another way to meet girls. Vin Diesel is like if that guy turned into a billion-dollar actor.
I agree. That is 100%. That is, like, I don't have a body of, like, listen, he's good for that role, but I don't view Vin Diesel as a good actor.
That's a good question. I mean, he does Groot, but that's kind of one note and funny.
And by the way, it's not kind of one note. It's literally one note.
Right. Yep. Fair point. And then Iron Giant's really good, but it's voice work, and that's slightly different, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. You don't see Andy Serkis, four-time Oscar winner Andy Serkis.
Okay. Although Andy Serkis is kind of brilliant.
He is.
Sports equivalent to Vin Diesel. Somebody who's perfect for what you ask him to do, but don't ask him to do anything else.
Oh, God. Okay. Kevin Green. He was a linebacker. He could rush the quarterback. But, not the best against the run, bad in pass coverage. How about that? Kevin Green.
Okay, perfect. Vin Diesel is the Kevin Green of movies.
Yeah. That was the first one that came to my head. I feel like, Julian Edelman. He'll get you 3rd and 7, but let's calm down about him being in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, I'll buy that. All right, Matt, I got to wrap up. I got to go and do my other job.
So then, okay, Bob, so I will go. So what you're saying is, don't take a photo of me drinking Bordeaux and the caption is thinking of the heroic nurses. What you're saying is don't do that.
I think I would go as far as say don't talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good start.
Just try to, don't.
Just I like it. Don't. No, all right, Bob.
That's it. Try to don't.
Try to don't. You know what? I think I can do that. Bye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.